Welcome to another episode of the SB Live Washington Podcast, your weekly conversation about high school sports across the Evergreen State. I'm Andy Bueller, reporter with SB Live, and joining me as always are the duo you can count on. First, he's SB Live's preeminent basketball mind. He's the host of the ISO podcast with Dan Dickow. It's Dan Dickow. And also joining us is the prodigal son of Tacoma. He's your pal and mine, whether he likes it or not. SB Live senior reporter Todd Millis. Gents, how are we doing this week?
Good. I'm ready.
I want you to introduce the preeminent, the Dan Dickow podcast and the preeminent mind of basketball. But I want you next time, I want you to introduce me as the preeminent mind on the Dan Dickow podcast and see what people say, because I don't think people are going to believe me.
No,
but I'll still be the prodigal son of Tacoma.
I can't lie to my audience like that, Todd. Our audience.
I'm kind of the JV preeminent mind of basketball.
Does that make me the freshman team preeminent mind? I'll take it.
Pretty much.
Coming up, we've got an interview with Tim Thompson. He's the district AD for Sumner Bonnie Lake School District, and he's going to give a peek behind the scenes into how athletic directors are planning for football games right now in the COVID era. We are approaching what is technically the third week of games, although it's the second week of a lot of games. Games are starting in the east side of the state. Dan, where you're at this weekend, and we're gearing up for a ton of coverage on the site, scorebooklive.com/Washington. And of course, Todd and I were at it last weekend and, you know, caught some really good games, some not so good games, but nonetheless, great to be out there. So 200 people are allowed in the stadiums. How do they choose who to fit in? That's coming up. But first, Dan, I've got a piece of trivia for you. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, and I'm not asking Todd because he actually wrote the story. And I'll say this, I didn't get this off the top of my head. So the McDonald's All-American rosters were released Wednesday, today as we record this, and there were three selections from the state of Washington. Paolo Banchero with O'Day, Eastside Catholic's Nolan Hickman, I should say Wasatch Academy now, but... And then Jackson Grant of Olympia that were selected for the prestigious game, which will not be played due to the pandemic. But that means for the first time since, I believe, 2009, three players from Washington were chosen. Who were those three in 2009?
Martell Webster, Micah Downs, and Spencer Hawes, I believe. And I think it was 2005, if I'm not mistaken.
So, Todd, wasn't it 2009 because of the technicality of a player moving out of state? Did I get that right?
Well, you guys are both right. So, yeah, Dan, they were the first ones to do it. I forgot Avery Bradley. So I had
the last ones. Yeah, the first time it's happened since 2009 happened in 2005.
So we're both right.
Okay. All right. High five through the Zoom.
Yeah, ask him. Who was it in 2009? Would you remember? I mean, Avery, obviously. I just said one of them, but...
Yeah,
who I believe it would have been the big fella, Josh Smith, went to UCLA, right? Wasn't he a McDonald's All-American?
Not that year. It would have been Avery's teammate at Bellarmine Prep.
Abdul Ghadi?
And then it would have been somebody that went and played for Rick Pitino.
Oh, Peyton Siva.
Yes, sir. Those are three players.
Yeah, Todd, I mean, you know, three great players again this year too. And honestly, there could have been more with the talent that's in this 2021 class. What did you guys think about, you know, hearing those three names selected?
First off, big time congratulations to those three guys. I figured Banchero and Hickman were locks. I was a little surprised with Jackson Grant, but at the same time, I can't say I was too surprised because I heard that he had some really good games during the times that Washington Supreme played. There were a couple high level kind of talent evaluators that have pegged him as a guy that they can foresee having a nice NBA career because of his size and his IQ and his skill level. So. I wasn't surprised by the first two, little surprised by Jackson Grant, but again, big time congratulations. You know, I think if if you would have said Caden Perry over Jackson Grant, I wouldn't have been surprised either. You know, I would have been, wow, congrats. Good for those guys. So, you know, all that's going to do is that's going to put a big-time target on all three of those guys back when they get to that next level of college. It always is that case. And the work, honestly, and I know it sounds cliche, it just is beginning. And just as if and when those guys get the chance to move from college to the pro level, the work is just beginning. It's a big-time accomplishment. It's big-time achievement. You need to – you know, be thankful for being a part of that game, appreciate it, but understand and know the work is just beginning.
Yeah, agreed, Dan. It would have been nice to have this be the historic year, because this seems to be the deepest run of basketball and football talent. Maybe the most of this state's ever seen. So it'd been nice to have Caden on that list and have four guys play for that West squad. Obviously that game's not going to be played or held for a second consecutive year because of the COVID, but yeah, I agree with you. Those four are kind of the four names that I had in mind. Hey, you could even make a case for Degenhart. Maybe not he might not have the national profile, but my gosh, he sure has the skill set.
Well, that's where a guy like Caden Perry, who, you know, the three of us who have seen all these guys play on the high school stage and you know, we're sitting here maybe a little bit surprised that his name wasn't called. A guy like him could have really benefited. He played with Seattle Rotary in the couple tournaments that they played in over the summer, starting right next to Paulo, and looked really good, but could have really benefited from a year on a full EYBL circuit. His junior season, let's see, sophomore going into junior year, played with the Rose City Rebels, smaller circuit, but nonetheless played sort of a national schedule, and he was kind of primed to take a step into the national stage. But that just means that, you know, people are going to find out about him maybe a little bit later outside of the Pacific Northwest. So, like I said, again, like you guys said, big congratulations to those three. Todd wrote up a nice story. We talked to some coaches, all three of those guys as coaches, who gave some comments, and I'll link that story in the show notes. It's of course on the site, scorebooklive.com/Washington, where you can find high school coverage across the state of Washington, the three of our work, and much more, especially now that the football season is in full swing. Speaking of the football season, though, so 200 people, as I mentioned, are allowed in these high school football games. That's coming down from the governor, coming down from the state. That includes, though, players, coaches, stadium personnel. There can be 200 people enter in the stadium, and it's a hard cap. So that puts district managers, site managers in a little bit of a tough spot of, okay, who are we prioritizing? Who gets into games? Todd, you and I both covered a few games already these past couple weeks, and each school does it a little bit differently. The big schools are not able to have as much wiggle room as opposed to the small schools that can maybe let some parents in. But what have you seen so far in how it's handled at each of the games you've covered?
Yeah, I went to games on the opposite ends of the spectrum. I went to a 4A SPSL game with Grand Compalzin at Bellarmine Prep. No fans, very eerie, had some cheerleaders. And then had all the game personnel, and, you know, Graham Kapowsin and Bellarmine, especially Graham Kapowsin, big rosters. So I imagine how that 200 could fill up pretty quickly. The next day it was eight man football with Muckleshoot Tribal out in Auburn against Tacoma Baptist. And so, I mean, I think those players could have invited their extended family and not filled up 200 people in the stands. And there were probably, I don't know, 40, 50 fans. And then probably 15 football players. So they were easily under the 200 max capacity. So yeah. And we'll get into this later, but it sort of prompted the question in my head. If I was a parent and we weren't really playing for anything, and I could have my son transfer to a smaller school just to watch him play, would I do it? And, you know, it was hard not to think along those lines, watching, you know, seeing all those parents get to enjoy watching their sons play on Saturday, when in fact, the only people that were watching the game Friday were outside the perimeter of the fence there at Bellarmine Prep.
Yeah, it's a tough position to be in, too. I was at the Puyallup Bethel game on Friday night at Arkwright Field, and there were no parents at that game. There were it looked like a few spectators, but both of those rosters are pretty big. Those are 4A schools. And so media was allowed in. I was one of like two or three media members. It was one per organization, and cheerleaders were there for Puyallup, but, you know, largely no parents. And so you saw what it created was on either side of the stadium, outside of the fence, you had a group of people holding the chain link fence, whooping and hollering and making themselves heard. And the next night when I went down and covered Kalama at Napavine, which as a 2B game, a lot smaller rosters, 60 parents were allowed in. So that felt like a real high school football game, because it's a smaller stadium. You have the parents were real loud and you know, gave those kids, one, those parents that were in there had the opportunity to see their kids, but two, were able to give the kids a little bit more of a real high school football environment while being spaced out. And of course, masks were required. But one thing I did notice that I think we'll see a lot of, depending on the topography of the stadiums, was Kalama, their stadium sits on a hill and it goes up. And so if you're up on the hill, you can look straight down into the stadium. And of course there were parents that were, you know, had folded chairs that were all lined up outside of the stadium with actually a pretty good view. So I take it we'll probably see some of that as seasons start around the state. Dan, if you were an athletic director, what would your priority be in all this? What do you make of these decisions that are being made?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one for athletic directors and kind of district superintendents to put a fair and equitable plan together. You know, I've heard anywhere from game one, we're going to have no one so that we can kind of see how it goes. And then the next week, week two of games, it'll be senior parents, and then the following week be junior parents, and then we'll reevaluate from there and see, okay, where are we at? Are we maybe going to be able to bump up capacity? But my biggest thing in seeing some of the articles you guys have written and hearing you guys describe this, it's a joke. I mean, you're outside, you're typically in a big stadium. If you're going to count the players on the field, You shouldn't count the players on the field because they're already playing in the game. So allow the parents to be responsible and respectful of having the ability to watch their kids play in a high school sporting event, which they're going to have very few opportunities left, especially if they're seniors. Let the parents do it with a respectful and in a responsible manner, and maybe cordon off little sections of the stadium and the bleachers. Because if you look at 200 high school fans and I'm just thinking of, you know, for example, I know the down in Vancouver, you've got Kiggins Bowl downtown, or you've got the one that it's Mountain View and Evergreen. McKenzie State. Those are enormous stadiums. You could have 200 people, and in each section there'll be 4 people. I mean, let's think this through a little bit more. I understand the governor's probably under the gun to kind of figure out, hey, we got to put a number together. But no, I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, I'm getting. Well, you guys are probably hearing it in my voice, but I think restrictions and guidelines like that for an outdoor game is a little bit much.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I'm gearing up to cover Camas Union this week, which is a game that's a huge deal in Clark County.
5,000 people at that game, I would imagine.
Yeah, and the main grandstands at Doc Harris Stadium hold like 4,000 people. So you're right. Like, even if you let, like, you could let like 1,000 people in and spread them out. And it's you're outdoors. We know the risk of transmission is lower outdoors, especially when everyone's wearing masks. And I think there's just a lot of parents around the state that are going, you know, this broad brush approach doesn't really work, and it's leaving us in the lurch. So I'm interested to ask Tim Thompson, our next guest, about what he thinks about all this. And I appreciate your guys' perspective. We'll continue to talk about this. I'm sure, you know, maybe the rules change here in the next few weeks when there's some early returns on, maybe some success of running sporting events, and if they can be proven to be safe, which I would imagine that they will, if there's continued lowering of trends in the virus like we're seeing now. We'll see. So, but when we come back, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Sumner Bonnie Lake School District Athletic Director and WIAA Executive Board President Tim Thompson joins. So stick with us. I want to take a moment to tell you about our friends at Washington Federal. Washington Federal is a local bank and portfolio lender with more than 200 branches across 8 states, more than 32,000 fee-free ATMs, drive-up ATMs, 24/7 online and mobile banking, and Washington Federal is a proud sponsor of SB Live Sports and SB Live Washington. The folks at Washington Federal care deeply about high school sports and the communities that support them across the state of Washington and beyond. Head to wafdbank.com to learn how Washington Federal can help you meet your financial goals. That's wafdbank.com. Washington Federal, a neighbor you can count on. Welcome back to the SB Live Washington podcast. Andy Bueller here. Todd Millis is with me, and joining us is a new guest this week. He's the athletic director for the Sumner Bonnie Lake School District, the WIA Executive Board President. Pleased to welcome onto the podcast, Tim Thompson. Tim, thanks for joining us. How you doing?
Great to be here. Thank you. Thanks for the coverage.
It's exciting times. Todd and I are gearing up to cover for Todd, his third week of football games, and for me, my second. And it's, you know, definitely a lot of excitement in the air, particularly, you know, among high school athletes. We wanted to talk to you today. We touched on it in our first segment a bit about the state mandated 200 person limit in stadiums. Now, this 200 person limit in the return to play includes both teams and personnel, event staff, and I know Sumner had a jamboree in a home game to start the season. As you were approaching the season opener last Friday, walk us through your process of formulating this list. What does it look like from your end trying to decide who gets in and who has to be left out?
Well, you know, the first thing I'd like to say is that, you know, we are so happy to see our kids and our coaches out there. There's a certain purity about, you know, what we're going through right now, because really it's truly all about the kids playing the game. And there's a lot of kind of secondary issues, you know, no fans and COVID protocols and all of those things. But, you know, for perhaps, you know, the first time in a long time, we really are focused on the kids and the game and just making that happen for them. And so, you know, the rest of this stuff is, you know, is a kind of a means to getting to that. Now, certainly it's a different feel having 200 in the stadium compared to 4,000 or 5,000 as we have had in some of our games. And this coming Friday night, we're actually Bonnie Lake High School in our district is hosting a varsity football game for the first time at their stadium at Bonnie Lake High School. They have a nice covered grandstand. And without the worry of a lot of fans, we are going to go ahead and host up there. So we're really excited for those kids to actually be in their home stands. So, you know, a lot of discussion in, again, the protocols, who do we let in, that kind of thing. We have really two outstanding leagues that we are a member of, Sumner in the SPSL 4A, Bonnie Lake in the Pierce County League. Great thinkers in those athletic director groups. And so we share a lot of things with each other to try and come up with what's the best method of doing that. Essentially, what we kind of came up with is that the visitors of that 200 would get about 80 of those, and that would include their athletes, their coaches, their filmers, their admin, their managers, you know, whatever. They create a pass list. You know, they're required to go through the attestation, the screening, the temperature checks, but we just trust each other that they will do that prior to getting on the bus. And so they come to us, we get the pass list from them. We know who's coming. We bring them in a certain gate. We don't have to, you know, do a lot of checking. We just check numbers and check names for those folks. And they're in, they move to their visitor side. We're not allowed to use locker rooms now. So we have a covered visitor side. We have restrooms available over there. So they just kind of take over whatever they need over on that side. But then the tricky part is the home side. We get 120, but included there are the referees and the chain gang and the scoreboard person, the PA person. And some people say, why do you need a PA person? Because kids like hearing their names, right? It's about the kids. So we like to have a PA person. If we have a play clock operator, they're up there. We are making a commitment as much as we can to video stream every single event so that fans can see it. Now, athletic directors aren't inherently good at video streaming. So we've typically tried to hire people or we get certain services. And I'll be the first one to admit those haven't always gone really well. We are doing the best we can. We're 100% the best we can, but they're not always coming across real well because we can't control all of it, but we're doing the best we can. But we got to have space there. We also have to have space for press. When Todd calls me and says, hey, can I get into the game? I've got to say, hey, Todd, I've already got somebody from Scorebook Live here. And I have to kind of limit it to one per entity or per company. And we do all those things. We have our local folks. And then we have our news media that likes to come in for a short burst and take some video and send it back to Como or King 5 or Cairo or whoever it happens to be. So we have to take care of those things. We have our admin that we have to get in. We also have our cheerleaders. And some people say, well, why do you let cheerleaders in? Because they're a student group and this is a student event. We have our dance team, drill team kids. And in some cases, those are restricted. Right now, we're only able to allow in half of our cheerleaders per game. Okay, so obviously I haven't said fans yet because we're up in the neighborhood of 190, 195 with just those. So which fans would you let in? Which 10 fans, 10 parents, when you've got a roster of 65 or 70 kids, right? So what we have said is that we will try and make accommodations for senior night. And in fact, Bonnie Lake High School is having their football senior night this Friday night because they just want to get it in just in case COVID does something weird and you know, season gets impacted somehow. So they have 13 seniors, 26 adults we're going to let in. So now we've got to figure out where do we find that 26? Are we going to restrict cheerleaders? Are we going to restrict the rest of the team roster to create that? Are we going to restrict admin, restrict press? You know, we have to restrict it somewhere. We might go to our visitor and say, do you really need all 80? Can you get by with 70 so that you can get 10 there? So it's really tricky, you know, in football and especially for those senior nights. Sumner has 19 seniors. So we're not really sure how we're going to manage that. Their senior night, they're waiting until their last game, which is Graham Kapowsin on Wednesday, March 24th, I believe. So we'll figure it out by them. But then in sports like volleyball and soccer, where we do have more room, we're starting to be able to let some fans in. But what I will tell you is that, you know, leagues are trying to help each other out, help the member schools out by having the same restrictions for every school, how many we let in or that kind of thing. And our problem in the Sumner Bonnie Lake School District is with two leagues. For a while there, the two leagues had different restrictions on number of fans. And so Bonnie Lake had fewer fans that they could get. In fact, they weren't allowed any fans. And Sumner was allowed to have fans after the first game or so. Well, we went back to the Pierce County League and we asked kind of for an exception and we ended up them saying, hey, if other schools in our league want to allow fans, it's kind of up to them. So last night at Bonnie Lake High School, we had a girls soccer game against Lincoln, and we were able to allow fans in. And typically in volleyball and soccer, we're allowing 4 family members per kid on the roster. It's kind of how we're doing that. So again, senior night in football, it's maybe 2, because that's all we have room for, but we have more room in volleyball and soccer. And by the way, when we bring in our chain gang and our referees and our press, we have to take them through the screening. They have to fill out a form. We have to, you know, zap them with our thermometer to make sure they have a good temperature. We have to save all of that information for attestation. We have to assign a coach to kind of monitor the sideline to make sure that on the sideline kids stay separate, 6 feet apart, that they're wearing a mask all the time. We have these new cool masks that fit inside the face mask of football and lacrosse. But when a kid takes their helmet off, they have to have another mask, right? And so, you know, this is a constant thing we're working on. And some schools do better than others. We got some pictures back from our, you know, photographers that were there out on social media. And there were a couple of times kids weren't wearing their masks properly on the sideline. And so those are heads up that we take care of right away, because we want to make sure that that we're on top of it. So anyhow, that's in a nutshell. Those are the things we're dealing with right now.
Tim, and based on the feedback you're getting, how difficult has this been for your football parents to adjust to?
I would say it is very difficult. And here's the reason why. As a parent, watching your child participate in an activity that they love is one of the most precious things you experience, you know, being able to watch them do that. And taking that away or putting it on a video stream is just not the same. We have fans that end up standing outside of our facility to watch our game. We actually had one guy that rented a scissor lift so he could get up above the fence and watch the game. We had in our parking lot, our fans did a parade before the game, honking their horns, driving around. So our kids know the fans are there. They're just not in the stadium. We also had a fundraiser where you were able to purchase one of those, what do they call them, fat head things, like you've seen in the NFL where they put them up in the stands. And so we have about 40 or 50 of those. And I need to buy one, by the way. Even though I'm there, I need to have my fat head up there in the stands. So it looks like there's actual fans up there, and the parents and the ASB kids put that together. It's really cool. So they're being creative, but it is a very challenging thing. For us, our responsibility lies with the kids, number one. That's our highest priority, and giving them that experience. Somewhere down the road is the experience for fans, and again, trying to video stream and do a good job of that. Those are challenges. So it's not the same for parents. It's a challenge for parents, and we understand that. We don't make the rule of the 200. We have to run a game efficiently, and that's what uses up those 200 folks. We are working WIAA-wise with the State Department of Health and the governor's office. Our staff has weekly meetings with them, and we are constantly trying to, you know, ask them questions about these kinds of things. Is there any room for adjustment there? Some of our superintendents have weighed in on that and said, hey, 200 sounds good for the field, but maybe there ought to be, we can separate the grandstand and have another 200 there. But again, the State Department of Health, you know, they're responsible for doing it safely. And so they've created these guidelines. And right now we haven't seen any movement there to make that change. And of course, the exception is if our region should move to phase 3, then, and we don't know exactly what the change would be. We just know that phase 3 will be less restrictive. And in fact, they have basketball and wrestling we essentially have to be in phase three, or where those sports will not be able to take place. So there's, you know, we're working on it, but again, the people that make those decisions, they're making them for the reasons of safety, and we're having to deal with it. And we hope our parents give us grace, because we're, like I said, we're doing the best we can to try and create a good experience for kids, and do the best we can to create some sort of fan experience through video streaming, you know, through senior nights and things like that.
Sure. We were talking about this in the first segment, but in the first, or last weekend, I should say, I was at the Kalama game, and it's a smaller school. The rosters are smaller. It's Kalama, Napa Vine. They're two B schools. And they were allowed to have, to get to the 200 number, about 60 parents in. And being in the stadium, it made it feel like, you know, a semi like a Friday night football game, particularly with the PA announcer, as you said. But as you go to bigger schools, you're seeing, I've talked to athletic directors who oversee programs that play at these big stadiums that feel like, you know, hey, if this number was, you know, doubled, tripled, we could do it safely. We have large grandstands. Now that you've seen it playing out, you've seen a couple of weeks of this. Do you think if phase three is reached, from what you've seen, could increasing the capacity be done safely and easily?
Oh, absolutely. You know, our stadium now has X's. Actually, we've done it every 8 feet. And so for soccer games, we tell folks, hey, if you live in the same household, then all of you can go sit on an X. And if you don't live in the same household, you got to go find a different X. But the stadium's spaced out, and we're able to run those events safely with those fans. It just simply, there's not as many kids and staff on the field. But again, we're trying to figure it out. And I can imagine that Napa Vine and Kalama, they play some great football down there in that league, and they have a great following in all of their schools down there. I can imagine there were a lot of people that weren't amongst those 60 that were disappointed, but you know, again, they're doing the best. They're taking what the State Department of Health said, and they're figuring out a way to do it. And we're doing the same, because some of our big schools have very big rosters, and you know, being able to be on the sideline on a Friday night is a big thing for kids. So we're trying to create that experience as a priority.
Tim, you talked about being a bigger school and the challenges of video streaming. I know a lot of the schools around the state are going that route as a way for parents to watch their games. You've had a couple opportunities now to see it. What's some of the feedback you have gotten from your live streaming, particularly in between weekends? How do you make that product better going forward, or is that something that you're concerned about?
Yeah, we're very concerned about it. We didn't have a great experience at our first home football game. It partly had to do with the Wi-Fi capacity. It had to do with, creating a hard wire into our system rather than use Wi-Fi. And it was Eli Sports. You guys are familiar with Eli Sports, and they broadcast from Sunset Chef Stadium many times, very successfully, but it wasn't a great experience. And so we're doing some things on our end to try and create a better access to our internet. And they're doing some things on their end, and because they're doing all of our varsity football, both at Bonnie Lake and at Sumner. And so we're working on that. And then we have a different streaming service that we are using for Bonnie Lake for the other sports, and Sumner has a different one, a different platform. And, you know, to be honest with you, we're trying these things out. We're spending money on hardware and access to the platforms. And then we have other possibilities too. So we'll continue to try and refine that to make sure we're doing something. One of the sports that we're struggling with, to be honest with you, the video stream is golf. You know, think about CBS and the Masters and how many cameras they have at all of those holes. Well, you know, we would need at least five different, video streams to follow each foursome in a varsity, you know, golf contest. And we haven't figured that out yet. So unfortunately, our golf parents are asking us the question, hey, when do we get something. And like, we're doing the best we can. We'll try and figure it out.
they don't make those ball flight trackers available to at the high school level, I take it.
No, not quite.
Well, I appreciate you walking us through this, Tim, and you know, 200 obviously is a relatively small number, and when it comes to football, when things are all said and done, and when I hear it from folks that say, well, why can't these people be involved? Why can't these people be involved? It kind of reminds me of like the NBA All-Star conversation. It's like, okay, you think this guy should be on the team? Well, who should we take off? who on the list ahead of them should be removed? And so, appreciate you coming on to walk us through all these decisions.
No problem. It's great to be here, and I hope I haven't painted a picture that things aren't great out there. They are fantastic. We have some things to work through. But, you know, again, having kids able to play and do it safely is just a fantastic accomplishment. Something that, you know, in our school district, we're very happy with at the WI board level. You know, we fought tooth and nail to get to this point and create something that works for every school in the state, every kid in the state. And right now we're all in phase two. We couldn't be happier. So all across the state, kids are starting to have seasons and have that experience and that kind of thing.
He's Tim Thompson. He's the athletic director of the Sumner Bonnie Lake School District and the executive board president of the WI. Tim, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, guys.
This podcast is brought to you by SB Live Washington and SB Live Sports, your national hub for high school sports news and information. Subscribe for free wherever you get podcasts. If you do it on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and review to help us best serve you, the listener. You can find our website at scorebooklive.com/Washington. There you'll see news, features, highlights, podcasts, and everything in the world of high school sports across this state. As always, a big shout out to our sponsor, Washington Federal. Thanks to Dan Dickow and Todd Millis for bringing the heat every week. The song you're hearing is by the band Woodrow. It's called So Far Away. It's written by James Schroeder, Carl Johnson, and my dad, Matt Bueller. I'm Andy Bueller. We'll be back next week.